Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Harmonize with me and hold me tight all through the night. You're shining bright. I'm your oyster, baby. You're my pearl.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Friendly Shippy Unny Podcasty.
Coming to you straight from these leather chairs, it's me, Mr. Billy Boyd.
It's me, Dom Monaghan here.
I've got a little song for it, Dom.
Oh, go on.
This is a podcast, we do it every day, except for Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, Sundays and Mondays.
Nice.
Not bad, eh?
I love that. Someone wants to drop a little bit of EDM. EDM?
Put some EDMs on it and release it. We'll become number one in Amsterdam.
Yeah, maybe we'll play it on the podcast next week. Now, you recently had your car serviced.
Yeah.
How are you as a, like, generally with car stuff?
I've no idea, Dom. When I was a younger man, I did try to fix a few things. It always went wrong. But cars are now hard to fix, aren't they? They look more like computers and
things. There's a lot of computery stuff going
on. Used to be, you put the dipstick in, oh, that's no good, that oil needs change.
Dipstick.
Hard to say.
I think it's slightly frustrating, isn't it, when you go to the mechanic. Mechanic?
Mm-hmm.
Where they report back. Because anything they could say.
Anything.
You know, we thought it was just going to be rotating your towers. Towers.
Yeah, rotate the towers.
Rotating the towers. We thought we were just going to have to rotate the tyres, just change the oil. But unfortunately, the engine turned itself upside down somehow.
Yeah, and somehow...
it's going to be $4,500.
The Bangladoof has come loose. And that's another $3,000 there.
Right. You must have driven over the phalange at one point.
Yeah, because the whole tube's fallen out.
I drive a Tesla, and you can't go anywhere apart from Tesla to get it serviced.
Of course not.
And at that point... you're really in trouble. Not only that, but I was sent an image from a friend who said that now Tesla itself,
yeah,
the car, will tell you when it needs new stuff. So the car will go, oh, I need a couple of new tyres, if you wouldn't mind, owner. So then you press self-drive. It takes you to Tesla. Has all your credit card information.
Just scan your card.
Sooner or later, these cars won't drive.
No.
Unless you do it. It'll say, we need this. And you go, well, I can't afford it. And it was like, well, I'm just going to stay here on the driveway until you can.
Back in the day.
Wednesday, by the way. Remember that, right?
What was your first car?
Well, I used to drive my mum's. That doesn't count, right?
Don't count.
So my first car ever was a Volkswagen Polo called Orville.
Did you say that like a German person?
Volkswagen Polo. Volkswagen Polo.
How much was it?
Why would you say Volkswagen?
No, that's a Volkswagen.
Oh, Volkswagen.
You say Volkswagen.
Volkswagen. Habit in Berlin geboren.
Yeah, that is good.
And my brother.
Hey.
Hi, Matt. Got a little, he was driving it when I was away, I think in New Zealand, actually. And he got a little light saying, we're low on oil, change
it. Yeah, change that.
Not going to do that. And... the car, the engine melted into just one massive metallic block on the motorway, and it had to be put on a lorry to take away, and the car was completely totaled.
Just because Matt wouldn't change
the oil.
He
just wouldn't change the oil. Did I say anything? No.
I bet you did.
No, I didn't.
I bet you did.
I absolutely did. I said, hey, that's fine. Do your thing. It's just a car, isn't it, Matt?
How much did it cost?
No, it was total.
Do you remember, though, when you bought it, how much it cost?
Yeah. I am going to say About £4,000.
That's all right. That.
What was your first? Wait, your first car had holes in the floor.
Yeah, it did.
It was a Flintstone.
It was a Mazda 3, and it did have holes in the car in the bottom. And when it rained, which it does a lot in Glasgow, the water all came in through the floor, and you would just be standing in a puddle.
What's the coolest car you've ever been in where you thought, I'd love to have this?
Not really a car person.
Me either. I drove a Lamborghini for a while as a loner. Did I ever see you when I drove that Lamborghini?
Yeah, we went in it once.
It's very problematic.
It just felt like you were in a tractor or
something. It's extremely low to the ground. So if you go over a speed bump, or what we call a sleeping policeman, which I think is a great name for it, much better name for it, it would clang, 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 clang. And also, you don't want to park it anywhere.
No.
And you don't want the valet people to park it because they're going to ruin it.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And no one lets you out in traffic because you just think, psh, dickhead.
I tell you a cool car I was in. Just remembered. Kenny Baker, who's R2-D2.
Hello, Billy. How are you doing? Good to see you. I'm doing great. Kenny Baker impression. Oh, lovely to see you, Billy. Want to jump in my roles? Come on in.
Kenny Baker.
I love Kenny Baker.
Yeah,
Kenny Baker.
I know.
He was lovely.
He had a Rolls Royce.
Right.
I was in Kenny Baker's Rolls Royce.
Great guy. The stories he could tell.
And he had to have blocks on the pedals to reach them.
Yeah.
But amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing big Rolls Royce he drove around in. Beautiful. Yeah.
What I loved about Kenny Baker whenever you saw him was he lived his life, didn't he?
He was just like,
I'm going to buy Rolls Royce, massive slap-up meals, I'm going to enjoy myself. Laughing, joking, socialising. It's a lovely lad.
I'll sleep wherever I want.
Yeah.
He used to fall asleep in restaurants. And
yeah.
Great. Why not?
Lovely man. Hey, listen, we don't have that much time to get into, just tomfoolery here because we're getting into the second part of what I think is going to turn into an iconic interview.
Some would say.
With Sean Astin in a jungle somewhere.
The greater of the two parts, the second part of the Sean Astin, the Friendship Onion interview.
Now, you and I got to know Sean Astin during the Lord of the Rings trilogy. And since then, we've spent some time with him on the convention circuit. And also, just in general, Sean Astin likes to do quite a bit of housekeeping to make sure that everyone's okay, doesn't he?
Yeah,
he's quite big on checking in on people. You all right?
Everybody all right?
Having a good holiday?
Everyone is this fine? Good?
Been your birthday? Are you good?
Yep.
Are you near me? I'm going here. I'm on the East Coast. Are you on the East Coast? Are we hanging out? Lovely man, Sean Astin. So this is the second part of our chat with the wonderful Sean, and we will see you after that. You and Elijah had a very close, intense, special relationship. You taking care of Elijah. The whole Samwise Frodo thing, very intense. You and Billy got on very well. But I was saying to Billy last week when we were leaving, I said, I wonder if Sean is interested in exploring this idea that, you know, you and I had a couple of little moments of tension, didn't we? On a few days where we were like, oh, fuck off. And you'd be like, oh, well, maybe you fuck off too. Do you remember that?
I remember a couple with Andy.
Right. Remember Andy accidentally pulled your wig off, right?
Yeah, yeah. Just, you know, he was supposed to grab us and pull us, and the wig, it was actually a weird cloak. Like it wasn't the normal cloak. It had like super big hood or something. And he grabbed it and it just ripped my wig off. So I was mostly embarrassed at that moment. But no, like little, like where was little, I don't know, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I mean, look.
Nothing
more than little tiny moments of, I think the day that we did the wooded log thing where we had the different invertebrates coming out of the ground, I had the spider on my hand. And I remember you saying to me, how are you going to do it? And I said, I'm going to do it like this. I'm going to have it crawl over my hand and walk this way. And you said, well, do you not think it's better if you do it like this? And I said, well, I've been told by the guy that I need to do it like this. And we, you and I had a little moment then, nothing too hectic, but you know, those, we're in such different places as Mary and as Sam throughout those movies. I wonder if there was some of that going on, you know?
Well, we always, you cannot possibly work together as closely as people like us work together and not have moments where you, sure. Yeah, step on each other a little bit. Nothing jumps out at me. I mean, I remember in that moment, we were supposed to scoop back into that little hole, yeah. And I'm like fat. And I'm like, how do I get my fat body in there? I can't be like, you know, Mr. You know, there's no elegance involved in moving into position. So, I don't really remember.
No, there's, I'm sure, like you said, it happens with everyone. I can be extremely irritating. I'm sure I got on Billy's nerves quite a lot.
Yeah, quite a lot. Still do.
You're supposed to at that point say,
no, never, fine, never, actually.
Great mates. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's all right.
here's a moment.
I don't ever remember seeing you. I never remember seeing you two get on each other's nerves for a moment.
We've only had one crossword. And it was about League of Legends. That was it. Which you're going to start playing, right, Sean?
Yeah. I started looking it up yesterday. It looks okay.
You'll like it. Elijah just did the tutorial. He's going to jump in. We'll have all four Hobbits playing at the same time. It'll be an epic moment.
It's going to be amazing. Here's the thing.
I remember. Oh.
Go on, Sean.
No, I was just going to say, I remember you, your patience.
Really? Dom, please extend.
Go
on.
I just remember thinking I could see you choosing to be patient.
With, you know, what? In what situation?
Whatever nonsense was happening, whatever amount of time or the logistics or whatever it was, I could just see you. I remember admiring it and thinking I didn't have it.
Well,
the ability in certain moments to be patient the way I saw you be patient.
I appreciate that very much, Sean. I'm not necessarily known for my patience, and certainly back then wasn't known for my patience. I honestly think, probably more than anything else, I was having so much fun making those films. And unfortunately, due to a few things that were going on with you, you probably weren't as in the fun zone as I was. I remember thinking, even on days off, I would rather be on set working with all my friends and having fun than having an extra day. You know, you had Ali. You wanted to spend time with your daughter who's changing and growing every day. I was at home on my own. I'd rather be with you guys. Mm. You were going to say something, Bill?
Oh, no. I was just going to say I always enjoyed Sean's company. I still do. I find mm-hmm. you intriguing as a character, and I like your passion for things. I like your passion for, like, if we're talking about British theatre or literature, I always enjoy, because I like your passion for things. But the one time that it just accelerated tenfold is I was in a hotel room, jet lagged, and I think I've told you this story. Well, I must have done. And I was watching TV, and I saw a movie just about to start with you in it. And I thought, oh, I'll watch this. And it was Rudy. Mm. I'd never seen Rudy.
Great film.
And you must remember this. For a month after that, I called you Rudy, because I thought the film was amazing. I thought your performance was amazing. Just everything about that just kind of escalated you in every way for me, because I thought it was such a beautifully measured. If you looked at it as an actor, it was wonderful, and just as a story, it was wonderful. And I called you Rudy for about a month after that, because I
like that.
It's so weird that I'd never saw the film and knew nothing about it. As a British guy, I suppose it wasn't a big thing in Britain. Mm. I don't know.
Yeah. It wasn't very successful in America either. It grew an audience in the late 90s, early 2000s. It started to develop an audience, and by the time, you know, it ended up becoming pretty popular and pretty well known. You know, doing commercials during football, big football games and stuff like that. But no, for a long time, it was actually the studio thought it was unsuccessful. I would say, or a big disappointment. Movie. So,
and
it was
how
not,
old
it was
were
rare
you
to,
then when you did that film?
21. I had just gotten married. I got married pretty young.
Yeah,
so
you
was,
did.
Yeah, just got married. Yeah, and it was in Indiana, right near where my wife is from.
And, wow. And send love from us.
Yeah, give my love
will,
to your beautiful
will,
wife, Christine.
Too long.
They're excited that I'm seeing you.
Oh, that's cool.
What was your favorite restaurant in Wellington, New Zealand?
What a great question.
I'm remembering the favorite dish.
Right,
wait.
Even better.
Surely
we're
the
narrowing it down.
Now, wait, Sean, for a second. Your favorite dish wasn't in your favorite restaurant?
I remember the dish.
Oh, okay. Go on, talk us through it.
It was an egg cooked on a Bunsen burner.
Did it have bok choy in it? Because I remember New Zealand was absolutely crazy for bok choy. Do you remember when we were there?
No, I hate about Wellington.
Yes.
What they put on their pizzas. Stop putting...
peaches and goat's cheese with caramelized onions.
No! Tomato sauce, cheese, mushrooms, and maybe a jalapeno.
Yeah.
That's what's on my pizza. Sorry,
Sean. What was the dish? Talk us
through
the dish.
I'm not going to have a... Well, it was for the last year and a half, up until about 2 weeks ago, I've been vegan,
really?
and then I had a steak. But there was some sort of a.
Hold on.
Is it bourguignon? Is it like beef bourguignon or something,
like
or some
French
maybe?
Thing,
It was just really rich, and it was
thick,
buttery, kind of, gravy.
Yeah.
Moist in the mouth.
Yeah. Moist, yeah.
What was it? Where was it? The White House. Was it the White House?
Was it two rooms?
Yeah, the White House. Yeah, it was the White House.
I knew it'd be the White House.
He loved the White House, Sean. He got very excited.
Now, would you, as a starter in the White House, would you have those oysters that were done in the oven?
Oh, Oysters Kilpatrick. Oysters Kilpatrick.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Is there something that's interfering with your happiness or maybe preventing you from achieving your goals? BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. And you can start communicating with them in under 48 hours. There's a broad range of expertise which may not be available in many areas, and this service is available for clients worldwide. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. Visit their website and read the testimonials that are posted daily. Visit betterhelp.com/onion, that's better, H-E-L-P, and join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional counsellors in all 50 states. Special offer for the Friendship Onion listeners. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/onion. Hey, are you feeling a little stressed, anxious, or maybe you've got a niggling pain? Well, me and Dom have got something for you. Feels CBD. Feels offer a premium CBD that will keep your head clear and help you feel your best. Sometimes I'll take some CBD, you know, in the evening when you want to wind down and you've had a big day, and it just helps you get in that nice place where you're ready for a good night's sleep. All you need to do is put a few drops of Feels under your tongue and you'll feel the difference in minutes. Now, CBD isn't about what you feel. It's about what you don't feel. Stress, anxious, that niggling pain. If you join Feels monthly membership, they'll make the self-care easy. You'll save money on every order and you can pause and cancel at any time. Start feeling better with Feels. Become a member today by going to feels.com/onion and you'll get 50% off your first order and free shipping. That's feals.com/onion to become a member and get 50% automatically taken off your first order with free shipping. feals.com/onion.
It sounds like he's hurling some epithet at the Scottish guy.
Yes. Sorry, Patrick. Kilpatrick.
Kilpatrick at him.
They were yummy.
I remember the four of us. I don't have a great memory, but I remember the four of us sitting in that restaurant and eating oysters Kilpatrick and having a great night.
It was a great. What about you? You've not said what your favourite restaurant in Wellington was.
I really liked that. Was it Indonesian?
That's mine. Do you remember the name of it? You've stolen my restaurant.
I don't remember the name of it.
I do remember the name of it.
What was it?
Kopi.
Yeah, Kopi. I used to love Kopi.
K-O-P-I. Wow.
And sometimes we would even get Kopi delivered to the set. We'd get a lot of
it. Oh, it was fantastic. Do you remember the sushi restaurant? Go on, Sean.
Elijah and I got Japanese food delivered.
Yes, the Japanese restaurant.
What was that called? The Japanese for 10 points.
I think I remember. I'll let Sean go first.
I want to say like Cure or something.
You want to say that or you will say it?
Yeah, I've said it.
I'm not going to say it because I know it's wrong, but I want to say it, so I want credit for venturing a thought.
I'll give you a clue, Sean. It was something sushi, and the something in front of it was a Japanese word.
Arigato sushi.
Don't think it was arigato sushi.
Right. Okay.
But do you know Billy? Billy does this thing quite a lot, Sean, and you have to watch him with this because he will do it with you at a convention. He'll claim that he knows the answer to something, and then when you get the answer right, he'll go, correct answer. And you go, did you know that? And he'll go, no, I didn't know that, actually.
I have no idea the name of the sushi restaurant.
I want to say, and Elijah will probably... Go on, Sean.
Kobayashi.
No, I think it's a dish. I'm taking my sock off because there's detritus underneath my sock here. I'm going to get it. I think it was a dish, a sushi dish. And I want to say...
You keep saying dish.
I want to say that the name of the sushi restaurant in Wellington was Unagi Sushi.
He just switched his computer off.
He's so disgusted with us. I think it was called Unagi.
No, I think that's right.
And after...
Elijah and I probably had... sushi from that, and we would get teriyaki chicken, and maybe 4 times a week for months.
and our friend Nigel Nally, New Zealand Kiwi Nigel Nally, who's working on Magnum PI in Hawaii and plays League of Legends with us. The only reason why I'm giving all that information away is because he said, please don't say my name because people are calling me a nerd at work. So Nigel Nally working at on Magnum PI.
Is that Nigel Nally in Hawaii?
Yeah, Nigel Nally. At that point,
Nigel Nally,
was a runner on Lord of the Rings, and I remember him telling me that he would get a request from Elijah for sushi or teriyaki chicken, and he would go and get it, and then when he brought it back, one of the other three hobbits would see it and say, oh, can we have that too? And he'd go, yeah, okay, I'll go get that. And then he'd come back, and the other hobbit would see it and go, oh, can I have that too? And he would go 4 times backwards and forwards to the same sushi restaurant, which he did not appreciate. Hi, Nigel.
And it was far.
Big nerd.
It was far away.
Yeah, it was right in the center of
it was
town,
far. It was on the far side of... it was from Seatoun. You had to go all the way to the far side of Wellington, I think.
And lived in Seatoun the whole time when you were in Wellington?
At first we went and we moved in what was... what's the name of the newspaper? The National... Just the Wellingtonian or something?
Is it the Gazette?
For 10 points, guys?
Herald. The New Zealand Herald.
I think it's the Wellington Gazette. I don't know.
Wellington Post?
They had an old building from like their initial building when the 60s or something, 50s or 60s. And we stayed in there, and that was terrifying.
Why?
Ghosts.
Ghosts. I don't mind ghosts. I know you're a big one on ghosts. But because earthquakes are big in Wellington. And the way those buildings are built, you just feel it going like this.
Right. Even
and you
without...
have to put on a good face for
So you get out of there with the you had the fear that there was going to be an earthquake that would bring down that building that had never been brought down. It was an old building.
Nothing that's been brought down was brought down before it was brought down.
That's a great point, Sean. Great
Once it's down, it's down.
When he's right, he's
when
right.
When it's up, it's up.
Yeah.
But when it's only halfway down... So you moved out, but just in case.
No, it was quite drafty, actually. It wasn't the right spot. But they found us this house. They found us a house at the top of Seatoon, the very, very top.
Right.
And it was, you remember, right? It was kind of the owner built it himself, and it had things in it that I'd never seen before, like heated coils underneath the bathroom tile.
Right.
The opposite of drafty.
You could flip a switch, and then when you go in there,
burn your feet.
Say again?
You would burn your feet.
You could if it was poorly made, or electrocute yourself, a thought that did occur to me. But no, as it turned out, it was perfectly safe. It was actually at the mouth of the inlet. Wellington, it looks like you're looking out at the ocean, but you're actually looking out at a big bay, and the big bay kind of turns to the right as you look out, and that's where the ships come in, out to the Cook Strait. And our house overlooked the entrance from the Cook Strait in there. So we would see these massive, massive tankers, container ships coming in and out all the time. And it was really mesmerizing and wonderful. And the wind, Windy Wellington, and where we were was the windiest. It doesn't get any windier than where we were. And you were just sure the house was going to blow away. But I wasn't so worried about that, interestingly.
Here's a scary thing, a story you might not have heard of me and Dom in the Cook's Strait. We were learning how to scuba dive when we had a couple of weeks off. And part of the thing that you had to do to get your certificate...
Qualification.
Is me and Dom had to do like a dive together where we told the guy where we're going to go, how we're going to get there, what we're going to do and get back again. And so we mapped out this thing that went to like an old... a sunk ship. So we had to get to this sunk ship, have a look around, head back to where the guy was. So me and Dom were just swimming for like 40 minutes, and he told us, watch the Cook Strait, because if you get too far into that current, you'll end up in Antarctica. It'll suck you right off. So me and Dom are down there swimming for like honestly about 40 minutes, and I'm running out of air. And I'm like, where is this boat? And we're trying to talk to each other with all the things that we'd learnt, you know? And I said, I'm going to have to go up. And I went up, and we were nowhere near.
Yeah.
The beach was about 2 miles away, and we were out in the Cook Strait. And I was like, I don't have any air. I'm going to have to. So I had to swim back on the surface with all the waves while Dom was down, like, swimming in the kind of relative calm.
Yeah, but I got on my back. My gosh. Flipped onto my back on the bottom of the water and watched you swimming above me.
And when we got back, the guy said, so everything go okay? We're like, yeah, we got to the thing. And they gave us the certificate, so we're all good. Yeah.
Also, while we were doing some of our qualification in the swimming pool, we're down at the bottom, Billy, and the instructor says to us, get down to the bottom and just talk each other through the equipment, make sure your tank is right, and if you need to readjust your BCD, do all that kind of stuff. So we're doing all this stuff under the water, and Billy shows me his index finger and points to it like that. And I think that for some reason what he's saying to me is, come sit on my index finger. I said, no, I'm not going to do that. He said, no.
Why would you think that, Sean?
He points at me. You. Come sit on this index finger. I said, no.
It's called wish fulfillment.
Yeah, wishful thinking. I said, no, I'm not under the water. I said, no, absolutely not. I'm not going to do that. And Billy said, come on, we'll have to go up because I need to talk to you about sitting on my index finger. So I get to the top and I say, Billy, that's not part of the class, me sitting on the index finger. He said, no, I'm trying to find out if the depth... perception is different under the water. I wanted you to touch my index finger with your index finger. I thought you meant my bum hole.
So what I'm getting out of this, first of all, is hand signals.
Yes.
Yep. Thank you. Well done, Sean.
But I'm also getting out of this that Dom's mind goes to a kind of like base sexual thing, whereas Billy wants something much more intimate. and close with you with the finger touch.
I wanted to know if he could.
Interesting.
Yeah,
it might be right. Although I think Billy was a little bit of a dark horse filming the Lord of the Rings trilogy, because without giving yourself away, Bills, how many members of the Fellowship have you kissed on the mouth?
I've kissed a few of the Fellowship.
Would you would it be fair to say six?
I would think at least seven? Six. Yeah.
So who's the dirty dog?
Can I just clarify who was the first?
You were the first, Sean.
You lucky
in that
devil.
Little sword fencing show that we did.
Ah, that's sweet.
That finished with a kiss, as I remember it.
That's lovely.
Yeah, I set the bar very high for the rest of the Fellowship. I know you kissed Viggo during the wedding scene, the Sam and Rosie wedding scene.
Oh, yeah, he was quite aggressive. Yeah, do you remember that? He just grabbed me and kissed me.
I think, to be fair, Viggo kissed you, didn't he? Wasn't the other way around.
Yeah, he
You
really
were being
kissed.
Me.
You know that, yeah.
Well, he wanted to see what all the fuss was about.
Yeah, we all did.
Billy and Dom eat the world.
Well, Sean, we have a regular feature on our show, which is mine and Billy's favourite part of the show, which is called Billy and Dom Eat the World. And we very often ask our guest if they will give us a suggestion. You had suggested quite a fancy Welsh rarebit, which I vetoed. Do you remember?
So Welsh rarebit, my mother would make for me every New Year's Eve.
Oh, that's
but I did not suggest Welsh rarebit.
Oh, you didn't? What did you suggest?
I discovered, and it would have been the first time ever, making Scotch rarebit.
Oh, and what was the difference?
Well, the Welsh rarebit uses a dark beer, a Guinness kind of, you know, a darker beer.
Right.
Heavy, and then you can just imagine what the Scotch one would be instead of the beer. It's
is there a whiskey in it?
There it is. Wow. Yeah, it's a whiskey. Yeah.
Well, we vetoed that because it felt like it was going to be a little bit too much hard labor for John, our producer.
I don't think
you need is a Bunsen burner, mate.
I don't think John would be a very good cook.
Do you not?
No, I don't.
Can you tell?
Just by looking at him, he doesn't look as if he'd be very good at cooking stuff.
The rare bit is very, very, very easy. It's like flour and cheese and whatever, and you just put it in a thing and mix it up, and that's it. You just set it on the flame.
Four Sigmatics Mushroom Coffee is real organic, fair trade, single origin Arabica coffee with mushroom for productivity and immune support. Now, I've been starting my day with Four Sigmatics ground mushroom coffee, and I tell you what, I feel like I'm more productive. I'm getting a lot of stuff done. Plus, it's easy on the gut and it doesn't leave you with that horrible jittery feeling. Now, you're probably thinking, does it taste like mushrooms? No, I can guarantee it tastes like coffee. I have drunk a lot of coffee and it tastes like beautiful, dark, nutty coffee. Now, we have worked out an exclusive offer with Four Sigmatic on their best-selling mushroom coffee, but this is just for the Friendship Onion listeners. Get up to 40% off and free shipping on mushroom coffee bundles. To claim this deal, you must go to foursigmatic.com/onion. This offer is only for the Friendship Onion listeners and is not available on their regular website. You'll save up to 40% off and you'll get free shipping. So go right now to foursigmatic.com/onion and fuel your productivity and creativity with some delicious mushroom coffee. So we often hear that the average adult needs to sleep for between 7 and 9 hours every night. Well, sometimes that is just not possible. But the good news is, research has shown that quality is just as important as quantity. We need to get that deep sleep. So how do you get that deep sleep where you're waking up refreshed every morning? That's where Chilly Sleep comes in. Chilly Sleep makes customizable, climate-controlled sleep solutions that help improve your entire well-being. Chilly Sleep makes the Ulla and Cube sleep systems, hydro-powered, temperature-controlled mattress toppers that fit over your existing mattress
to provide your ideal sleep temperature so you get that deep sleep and waking up refreshed. Head over to chillysleep.com/onion to learn more. And you can save 20% off the purchase of any new sleep system. This offer is only available to the Friendship Onion listeners. And only for a limited time. That's Chili, C-H-I-L-I, sleep.com/onion. To take advantage of our exclusive discount and wake up refreshed every day.
Well, we did not do that.
We'll do that next time.
Instead, yeah. We did something else. Do you want to tell us what you suggested, John? Well, Johnny brings in the food item.
Yes. So what I decided, since you weren't going to let me go with an elegant, culinary thing, I thought I would bring you. I know you're both. I know Dom is very athletic, quite athletic with the soccer.
Oh yeah, we both are. Yeah.
With the footy. All right. Oh, and Billy is as well. But I remember how aggressive you were when we were first playing. That's the first time I saw your aggression is when we played in that.
Oh yeah.
Place. Anyhow, this is called Big League Chew.
Big League Chew.
This is an. Yeah, it's probably made in Taiwan or something, but oh, look, it's look at all the things that it doesn't have in it. It doesn't have gluten, doesn't have peanuts, doesn't have a lot
it's
of stuff.
Aspartame
but what it is
free.
Is so baseball players,
yeah,
it being the national pastime and whatnot, used to chew tobacco. Mm-hmm. And they would spit. You know, you put a big wad of chewing tobacco on your lip there and you'd spit. And the dugout, which mm-hmm. is In football and soccer, they have that weird kind of bus bench looking thing.
Yeah, they do.
But in
yeah.
baseball, there's a proper dugout. You go down into the dugout, and it was always filled with the most disgusting, you know, 2-inch layer of spit, of tobacco spit.
Right.
So at a certain point, children wanted to get in on the game, so they designed a gum to look like chewing tobacco.
Right.
And that kids could, yeah. So I got it for its thematic resonance and not for its
Would you have grown up with this, Sean? Horrible.
Yeah, are you
when did they bring this out? Oh wait a minute, Sean's already got it in his mouth.
Oh Sean, settle down. Are you a fan of this, Sean? Did you
I'm
grow up with this as a kid?
As a little kid, it's like when you get pretend cigarettes when you're 6 years old or five years old and they're candy and you blow on it a little bit of powdered sugar comes out of it and you feel like your mother who smoked 3 packs a day.
Yeah.
But this definitely had the look and feel that the big leaguers had. They always had their chew in a thing like in a packet like this and you open up and you could always see it looked, you know, yeah. So it's bubblegum. Now they have a similar type of bubblegum that comes in a roll, but
says here Big League Chew has sold more than 800 million pouches. And is designated in the Hall of Fame bubblegum. Wow. Well.
I'm going to. It smells very.
Should we give it a chew?
Does everyone get grape?
I've got grape. It does look like chewing tobacco.
Right, here we go.
There we go.
I'm putting a big chunk in. Are you putting a big chunk
in? As you
should. You want to have that thing.
Oh, good flavor. Mastication.
Thing that's gross about it is the powder they use to keep it from sticking to the tinfoil.
Mm.
It's really quite gross.
Oh, wow.
Do you chew gum on a regular basis, Sean? It's supposed to be quite good for concentration.
It's also quite good for acid reflux.
I'll tell you, the only time that I chew gum, and it happens every single time that I do it, is when I go surfing. I chew gum because I don't like that frothy spit that you get when you get too much seawater in your mouth. But if you chew gum, you don't get it. Now, Billy's going to read some.
You know what you can do for that, too?
Go on.
You can do it when you're surfing, and you guys are the surfers. I just know this from having trained for a triathlon. Close your mouth.
Oh, good shout.
Just stop the seawater from getting...
That's a good shout, Sean. That's
but
a good
the,
shout.
The other great quality that this has is it loses its flavor very quickly, so you have to keep putting more in until it's a ball, and then you have to find some place to spit it out.
Yeah, that's I mean, it's quite a good flavour, to be honest. Right, Billy, read something truly dynamic about this product.
40 years later.
Then Rob, what? 40 years later than what?
I don't know. John doesn't tell us this. He
Johnny!
Just sticks it in there.
Come on, Johnny.
He starts off with all our quotes.
And it just says 40 years later.
Come on, John.
Then what?
Oh, God.
Okay.
Just a moment of silence there, Bill, for the chewing gum. Is that what I was? Just a moment to be reverential about the gum itself.
Right, Rob Nelson.
Yeah, good old Robbie.
A lefty hurler, while earning a degree in philosophy at Cornell University. Mm. What state's that in, Dom?
I don't know, but that's where Clarice Starling went. She went to Cornell. Sean will know.
What state? Sean will know.
Where's Cornell, Sean?
Well, I want to say Connecticut, but I'm probably wrong.
What do they specialize in? Do they specialize in some law, Cornell, or is that wrong? Anyway, Billy, continue.
I'll tell you what.
Go on.
Sometimes, John's...
It's in Ithaca, New York.
Is it? John's facts are obvious, are sometimes like quite vague. These are the most vague and weird ones he's ever.
He simply copy and pasted it from the internet, and there's no.
Look how they all start 40 years later, and then without saying who or anything, came up with the idea.
Yeah.
I mean, this is absolute nonsense, John.
Later on, it says, didn't want to chew tobacco. Who didn't want to chew tobacco, John?
Right, let's have a look at January. January 1979. I read an article. Who did? John did?
Come on, John.
I read an article about a small make-your-own bubblegum company of Arlington, Texas. I bought a case of this stuff. I went to the major supermarket and got flavour extracts of maple and root beer. On February 6, 1979, I made my first batch of what would become Big League Chew. I baked it in Bat Boy John Field's mum's kitchen.
Absolute shite.
Absolute nonsense, John.
Absolute shite.
It's just words that you put together. They make no sense, John.
That's an interview with Rob Nelson.
Oh, the inventor. Quote. Now, Sean, you're a baseball fan. Don't look at the product, the package. What is significant about the date February 6th in the world of baseball? Billy, don't give him a clue.
Can you give me a decade?
Oh, I don't know, because I don't know when
or
this...
Or a range?
I'll give you a little...
Babe Ruth's...
Well, there you go.
Babe Ruth's birthday.
It's Babe Ruth's birthday. Sean asked him for 10 points. Good That's for you. Fantastic. You're on the board. Well done. So the gum was first... They did a first swing at the gum... on February 6, 1979, which is Babe Ruth's birthday back in the day.
We're getting more facts from the back of the gum thing, John, than we got in your printout.
There is a good fact about Todd Field, the filmmaker.
It is a staggering number.
Oh, yeah.
How many they've sold.
Sean, 800 million. Sean will like this, because there's a... John, tell Sean the fact about Todd Phillips. This is good.
So Todd Field is a filmmaker.
Oh, Todd Field.
He's nominated. Well, first he was in Eyes Wide Shut. He played the piano player in the Stanley Kubrick's movie.
Oh, he's a little pianist.
And he made In the Bedroom, one of my favorite movies. And he was nominated for Best Picture and Best Adapted Screenplay. And he was friends with Rob Nelson, I believe, in Oregon somewhere. And basically he was chewing licorice. And he said, hey, Todd. Rob Nelson said, hey, Todd, what do you have there? And he said, it's not chewing tobacco. It's not Redman. It's just licorice. And Rob Nelson went, Todd Field, that's genius.
Yeah.
I'm going to make gum that's like chewing tobacco, but it's gum.
Mmm. That's where it came from. Love that. Just so you know, there are a few colors in here, Bills. Red 40 Lake and Blue 1 Lake. Sean, I was saying a few weeks ago that I would love to travel around the world to the factories that make all of the e-numbers and the food colorings and find out the different processes. Wouldn't that be fascinating?
So my grandfather was the head of the Bureau of Standards. Mm-hmm. Basically, it's the government agency that decides what weight is.
Right.
Like, what is an ounce?
Right.
So they have, like, if I'm not mistaken, an ounce of a metal locked. That's it. When they're trying to decide how much steel... you know, pressure can take on a container ship or something like that, they go back to these weights and measures. The idea that you could go back to where that red dye number six
is
That is a you might never eat again.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure it would be terrifying to find out where it came from, because some of the red food coloring
to go in and look at it.
Yeah, there's a cochineal beetle that makes the red food coloring in some things.
And a cochineal beetle is exactly 1 ounce. Mm. That's what they use. It's not a piece of metal. It's a cochineal beetle.
Are you blowing bubbles over there?
Yeah. 10 calories.
So are you?
In each serving.
Go on, Sean. Are we?
How
what?
Much is a serving? Oh, how well, much is a serving? It's not
eight,
clear.
There's 8 servings in this little bag here.
No, it says there's 20 so servings. I'd have to... Just above it, Bill.
There's 20 servings.
It says a serving size is 8 pieces, but I'm not sure what constitutes a piece. I suppose
3 grams.
Spread it out and
3 grams. Of course. So this is is this the official bubblegum of the National Baseball League? I don't see.
No, now what they've been doing for the last 40 years, this is Little League. Little kids chew this. Right. The big guys chew sunflower seeds.
And is
now
that
if you walk into a dugout of them?
Is that because there's I don't know a huge amount about baseball. I lived with your brother for a while, and he's a massive Dodgers fan. I know you love the Dodgers too. Is that because of there's a massive amount of nervous, energetic waiting in baseball? Is that where this all comes from?
Yeah. And it's also the salt. I think when you're sitting out for such a long period of time, I don't know if some of them have saltless seeds, but you can't sit in a dugout for 3 or 4 innings and chew those things without feeling like you're retaining water all of a sudden. So I don't know if that's helpful for them on some level. But it's definitely it's boring. Baseball, I mean, it's very exciting if you really know what you're looking at, but there is an awful lot of time spent sitting around and then punctuated by moments of like, now you got to do something crazy, like run 90 feet in
sounds like acting.
Split second.
Yeah. Who's the guy, Sean, who's the guy in the cover in the CBE or CBL cap? CBL cap? Who is that guy in the front? Is that
Big
the inventor?
Big League Big League
I think that's the guy from A-Team.
So tell me, did you grow up eating this? Is this something that when you taste it takes you back to a certain time, an easier time, a more innocent time?
Less helicopter time.
I played Little League Baseball, which is from the time you were probably 8 until I was 15. It wasn't, we didn't have this a lot, but this, occasionally somebody would have it and it was always great and exciting because it had sugar. I bet it had more sugar in it back then.
Oh yeah, I bet.
I bet it had more sugar back then. But yeah, so it's sort of synonymous with my childhood. But the reason I chose it for you lot was because I think this is how you see me.
What? A gum-chewing baseball player?
Yeah, like an American.
Yeah.
Playing baseball.
Yeah. If you're not going to let me do the rare bit, the Scotch rare bit, then you're going to have to suffer.
That's fair
terribly.
Enough. Because you remember, Sean, there was a period when we were all getting our feet on that you used to enjoy, where you used to shout out an American city, and Billy and I would say the exact opposite state that city was in, and you and Elijah seem to really enjoy that.
States and capitals.
Yeah.
I don't remember that, but I'm sure it's true.
No, we definitely didn't do that. Well, we vote, we score these things in 3 categories.
Mm-hmm.
The guy to my left here, William Boyd, will explain the categories, William.
There are 3 categories, Sean. The first is taste. The second is this aesthetic or look. And the third is usefulness.
Mm-hmm.
That's taste, aesthetic, and usefulness.
Mm-hmm. So... And it's out of 10, Sean, and you can use decimal points if you like.
Example, 6.2.
It's a good example.
Thank you. Hey, that's a 10K. That's 10K. That's a 10K race.
Hey, before we do the thing then, will you do another Ironman?
I was just saying to Christine, I don't want to think that I've done my last Ironman.
No, you've got to do another one. Come on. Start today.
She said I will. I've been trying to get there. It's really hard. My body doesn't pay attention the way it should. She said I had to lose 40 pounds before she would support it. So that's a lot of weight to lose.
40 pounds?
Wow,
that's
Sean. You've been there.
I want to do is in Taupo.
Oh,
in Lake Taupo.
Oh, you must do it then. We'll do it with you.
I really want.
No, we won't.
Oh, my God. Could you be my, okay. We could do it in a relay, I suppose.
We'll cheer you on.
I don't know what you're...
Nah, we'll cheer you on.
Well, that's it. Okay. Well, that's... Would that be the reason we'd bring us all together?
I mean, that would be great.
We could coach you.
There's a bunch of money for charity.
We'll coach him.
I need coaching.
Right. Okay, we start today for the Taupo. What? When do you want to do it next year?
It's August now, and it starts in March, so not enough time. It'd have to be in a year and a half.
A year after.
Okay.
We'll start the training right now.
2023.
Okay.
Iron Man.
No more gum for you, Sean. That's your first note from your trainers. No more gum. But let's
I'm more than happy to take.
Let's give it some scores. So the first one, flavor.
Flavor or taste?
Out of 10, Sean.
The 3.
Oh, he doesn't like it.
He doesn't like it.
He recommended it and he doesn't like it.
No, he doesn't like it.
I didn't recommend it. I recommended it out of spite.
Oh. A spite recommendation.
Brilliant. It's the first spite recommendation of the podcast and we welcome it, Sean.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Could have started something here.
We don't have grape-flavoured gum in Britain, do we? We tend to do kind of mint, a strawberry, possibly... What else would there be that's a classic?
It's just juicy mint, fruit. Really. You want mint, don't
but
you?
Grape is not common, so I quite like the grape flavour because it's not common. I'm going to give it a 6.8.
Yeah.
William?
I think if I had to choose...
Well, you have to choose.
I do. But if I had to choose a flavour for America that sums up America for me, it's either cherry or grape.
Right.
So I think this is quite an American flavour, and I like the flavour. Mm. And it's intense when you start biting it. I'm going to give it an 8.2.
Oh, he likes it.
Yeah, it's a flavour. It's a good flavour, bubblegum.
He likes it, Sean. Now, aesthetics. That's obviously the product itself, but also the package, which I'm quite taken with the packaging. Quite like if I was a little boy and my favorite uncle got me this in a big bag, I think, wow, that is a lot of gum.
It's a lot of gum, and also it feels like it's tobacco. You're ripping tobacco off.
Feel like a real man.
Sticking it in your mouth. Yeah, I like that as well. I like this, except I don't like the way it sticks to it.
And once it's out,
as the powder is what keeps it. Yeah, from sticking it. That's
I don't think I've got
point.
Enough powder here, Sean.
So do I go first on this?
Yeah,
please, Sean.
I think it's a fair. If I'm allowed to use a decimal, I'll go 10.9.
Well, it's out of 10, out so you give 10? It an extra 9 points.
What? Well, let me. Can you have a 6.9?
Of course you can.
Can you have an 8.9?
Yeah, you can have anything up to 10, my
friend. Then why can't you have a 10.9?
Well, the maximum's 10.
It's like saying I'm 110% in.
Yeah.
You can be 110% in.
If you want to break the rules, Sean, you can. Okay. Wow. He loves the aesthetic. I mean, it's impressive that they've made something look kind of like chewing tobacco. It's not incredibly attractive as a food item.
No.
But maybe little kids are into that.
No, but the front package.
The front. Yeah, the front gets a little extra. Mm-hmm. Oh, you've got a different cover. Mine's blue, Sean. See?
Yeah, my wife got me the original, which is the least appealing.
Okay, well, I'm going to give it aesthetics. I'm going to give it a... excuse me. I'm going to give it a 5.7.
Oh, he doesn't like the look of that much. Well,
not really.
Well, he likes the taste more than the look.
Yeah, I do. I like the taste.
I like that they've tried to do something. What they've done is not very aesthetically pleasing, but it does do the job of what it's supposed to do.
Yeah.
Make you feel as if you're eating chewed tobacco.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give it a 7.4.
Okay. Ooh. Now we move into the slightly surreal scoring. What do we call it?
We call this usefulness.
Yeah, but what is it? Category.
How useful is this
How
thing?
Useful is it, Sean? Can you use it for anything else apart from bubblegum?
Could you put it in a casserole? No, would be my answer.
Could you plug a leak with it?
Maybe.
I don't think it'd be good for plugging leaks. It's kind of a slippery vibe to it. It's not very sticky.
Say, for instance, you were in an old building that used to be a newspaper print, and you found it a bit drafty. Could you stretch it across the bottom of the door?
Possibly. Add a bubble gum.
I think it would...
It's quite good for blowing bubbles as well. Some bubble gum, they say it's bubble gum, but you can't get bubbles out of it. This is quite good for bubbles.
Let me see your biggest bubble.
No, definitely good bubble gum.
Yeah. Go.
Hang on.
Go.
If you're saying that you want to stop someone from getting mouth cancer from tobacco, chewing tobacco, it accomplishes that 100%.
Yeah. Well, that's actually pretty useful.
I think this is a podcast that wants to establish to stop people from getting sick as opposed to getting more sick.
Yeah, yeah. But so I don't know if you're going to have kale or spinach or Big League Chew, you know, I'd go with the kale or the spinach. So I want to make sure the scale is calibrated correctly. I would say its usefulness, it's really designed to make children happy. And I think it does that well for the children who have it. I don't know if it causes cavities or not. In its current iteration, it says it only has 2 grams of sugar. I'm not sure what that powdery stuff. Yeah. I'll give it a 6.
What's a 6? It's a bang on 6.
I'm going to demote it a little bit because I can't see any other real uses apart from what it's doing. And it's quite useful as a bubble gum. I'm giving it a solid 5.
Well, I was going to give it a very low score because it is just a bubble gum. Mm. But then Sean did say, as a replacement for chew tobacco.
Lovely.
That is quite useful. So yeah. I'll give that a 6.8.
Fantastic. Well, Sean.
Big League Chew. What position did you play in baseball?
Second base. And I was a short relief pitcher. Hello. There's a joke because I'm short. But short relief pitcher means you only come in for one inning and throw the ball. Well, it depends on how fast you get them out. But, yeah, I loved baseball. I was very much like Rudy. Did not have a lot of baseball talent, but I was so passionate about it.
Gave it your all.
My favorite thing about baseball is that everyone still dresses like they're in the 1950s.
Mm-hmm.
They've never updated that at all. I think that's brilliant. I think everybody looks
amazing. You
know,
it's a big day in baseball today, American baseball.
What is it today?
The news this morning is that the National League has changed the name of all clubs from the Cleveland Indians. Mm. To the Cleveland Guardians, because Indians is culturally offensive to Native Americans.
I'm surprised, it's great.
That's a big deal. In the baseball world, that's a big deal.
Aren't they doing that with the Washington football team as well? Because they had another name.
Redskins. Yeah, they should change the Redskins name for sure. Yeah. They need to change all of those names that seem like they were complimentary because they were aggressive, but are actually kind of offensive.
Yeah.
So it's hard when you fall in love with something as a kid. If you were a kid and you were on the Cleveland Indians and they made the movie Major League with the tomahawk chop, you know, like that's our ole ole, right? Yeah, that's not good. That's bad. You can't do that anymore.
My favorite thing about baseball, which I think was said by a stand-up comedian at one point, but I can't remember who, was he said
George Carlin.
Oh, was it? He said everyone's just trying to get home. The point of the game is just to get home.
I think so. It's really lovely. Just trying to get home. Yeah. Football's about getting on the grid yard line with something or other, and it's tactics and strategy and all this stuff. Baseball, everyone wants to go home.
Yeah, it is George Carlin. It is George Carlin. That's brilliant.
You almost did your speech there. You almost did your speech from Rudy. I was getting all excited there. Yeah, the first and the
back. We're going to go inside, outside. We're going to get them on the run, boys. And once we get them on the run, we keep on the run. We're going to go. We're not going to stop until we get across that goal line. Today's the day we're going to win, boys. What do you say? Yay! They can't lick us.
We're in.
Rudy. Rudy. Rudy.
You know what you guys should do? You guys should do Abbott and Costello. You should do Who's On First.
Oh, Who's On First would be great. We could learn that, right?
Yes.
Oh, my God. You guys would be hilarious because you would have the extra added layer of not sure. Actually, I want to hear you do it right now.
I don't know all of it. I don't know how to.
Don't know.
No, you have to look. All right.
We'll work on it though.
We'll get that for you. We'll do it.
Because it would have the extra added benefit of the kind of transatlantic confusion on top of the dopiness. Oh my God, it would be so good. Now I really have to hear that. We'll work on it, Sean.
Yeah, we'll do it.
We'll do it.
Well, Sean, it's been fantastic having you on the show. We will, of course, as we have an open invitation to come back whenever you want. We'd love to have you in the studio. Yeah. We understand that, obviously, COVID restrictions, you're being very smart and very conservative to protect yourself and your family. But yeah, man, hopefully we'll see you soon.
I want to know that when I come in to be on the show, we can talk about mundane things or seemingly mundane things.
You give us a list of anything you want to talk about, we'll talk about that. Otherwise, we'll bring up mundane things for sure.
And you can have Scotch Rabbit. Yeah, we'll make a promise to each other when you come into the studio that we will not talk about Lord of the Rings the entire time that you're here, and that will allow us to talk about the mundane
things. That's what I'm saying. I think we had to lay down the marker of Lord of the Rings, but now I want to, because I love your show. I love listening to you guys, and the way you just talk about simple life things makes everything feel more important. So I want to feel that feeling.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah.
Thanks, well, we would do anything for you. You know that, Sean. I just made Sam Wisey's frying pan.
Frying pan out of my Big League Chew. Do you want to maybe promote the usefulness of it now?
Yeah, I've made that not 6.8 anymore. Bring up the scores again. It's an 8.5.
Nice, Bills. Nice.
So is there a total?
Well, yes, there's totals.
There's a total out of 30, yeah, but as of yet, we don't kind of tot up the scores. That gets totted up for us.
One day, of us will die, me and Tom, and then we'll put down all the scores on a scrolling screen.
It'll be published.
Screen. Yeah.
In lieu of a proper, what do you call it? Not a eulogy, but what do they call it in a...
I don't know.
I don't know. What does it look like?
Yes, it's a word. Oh, my God.
Do you know the first letter? Does it rhyme with something? Dinosaur.
Is it a whale?
Is it a whale?
Helicopter.
Obituary. Jesus.
Obituary.
That's,
nice, Sean.
Obituary. I want all the scores printed as my obituary.
In lieu of an obituary. Dominic Monaghan.
Scores.
Your first to go.
Big Lead Chew 27-34-65.
Exactly. Right.
Or 20. Oh.
Well, Sean, it's been lovely to have you on the show. We love you. You're obviously always welcome. It was great chatting to you, mate.
Yeah, enjoy the rest of your day.
Love to your family.
Too,
Sean. Give our love to
you. Love you guys. We'll see you soon.
All right, Sean. Stay safe.
Bye bye.
See you, mate.
What do you think of that, Dom?
I loved it.
It was good, wasn't it?
I love the interview. Half as much as I love Sean, because I love Sean quite a lot. I gave the interview a solid 89% of love, but I'll give Sean 110%.
You gave him 110. Well done, Nat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Sean's a brilliant guy, and I never get sick of listening to him tell stories and stuff, because he's good at it.
Yeah, he is good at it.
He's a good actor as well.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to see what he does next.
Yeah, me too.
Because there's a few actors that I really look forward to their stuff. You're one of them.
Thanks, Bills.
Sean Astin's another one.
That's very sweet. Yeah, I love Sean's stuff too. I mean, we touched on it very briefly there, but when I was flying over to New Zealand, the people that I knew were involved, obviously you, I was a fantastic fan of yours.
Of course you were.
Orlando.
Uh-huh.
Elijah.
Yep.
Liv.
Ah.
And Sean. And I don't think anyone else was fully confirmed at that point.
Okay.
And I remember being... so excited to meet the guy from who was Mikey in The Goonies, and also I'd seen.
You had seen.
I'd seen Rudy.
Right.
I'd seen it, and good. I'd loved it. Didn't you have like really bad jet lag when you watched Rudy? So it was a little kind of surreal.
It's all surreal, but I fell in love with it. I loved it.
Yeah.
I thought Sean was brilliant in it.
Well, that was really great.
It was lovely.
Great to chat with Sean. He's being very mindful and cautious with his family about COVID, but he did promise us that when he's out of a place of being so careful and considerate of his family, he'll come and sit in the studio with us, and we will not talk about Lord of the Rings.
We might mention it.
We might mention Lord of the Rings.
But we'll talk about other things as well, like literature and theatre and art.
Yes.
And string theory. What is it?
So, guys, get in touch with us. Rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast, The Friendship Onion. You can find us on YouTube as well. You can email us at thefriendshiponion@castmedia.com. That's cast with a K. And?
Don't forget, if you leave a review, take a picture of it. Tack us in. Tack?
Tack.
Tag us in, and we might stick it up on our Instagram or read them out here on The Friendship Onion.
You can also leave us a voice message at speakpipe.com/friendshiponion. The forward slash, The French Bunny. And also, we have a playlist the Friendship Onion on Spotify. Of all of the songs that we're wondering whether you guys think are funky as well. So come subscribe to that, because each week we add an extra song. We might add a Billy Joel song in tribute to Mr. Sean Astin.
Samwise Gamgee.
I think Uptown Girl is his funkiest song.
Right? Ooh, yes. Yeah. And what a lovely tale.
Wearing dungarees and stuff.
I'm going out with an Uptown Girl.
Do you know, I think the woman who played the Uptown Girl in the video
ended up
being his wife, right? For 10 points.
I thought it was Monica from Friends.
No, she was in Dancing in the Dark with Bruce Springsteen.
And she married Bruce Springsteen?
No. The lady who was in Uptown Girl married Billy Joel, which is nice because he's just a mechanic covered in grease. He's a grease monkey.
But and she's Friends walking was a past. Good show, though.
Yeah, but that was not what we're talking about, though.
Are you sure?
Well, we could talk about that. But do you remember the name of the model?
And what?
In Uptown Girl.
Yeah.
That walks past the kind of a New York, Chicago type hot, steamy night where they're all fixing...
fixing tyres. I need to pick up my
Thunderbird
car.
Thunderbird or something.
Twiggy.
No, was she'd it? Be ancient at that was point. She? Twiggy was famous in the early 60s.
Did she go out with one of the Friends?
I think you're getting a bit confused, aren't you?
Carry on.
It's Billy Joel. Billy Joel's wife. John, put us out of our misery. Lebo. Hang on. Chrissy Brinkley. Well done. 10 points. Beautiful, amazingly wonderful woman. And they married. And I think that song... You'll always be a woman to me. He thinks you're a shit, and he thinks you're a shit, and she thinks you're a gossip, but you're always a woman to me. I think that's about Chrissy Brinkley as well.
Are you sure?
No.
I think that's about the one from Friends.
Is that about Courtney Love from Friends?
No, the one that sings the thing about the cat.
Oh, right, Phoebe. Smelly dog. Right, we've got to go.
Hey!
Guys, we'll see you next week.
Why wouldn't we? On the Friendship Onion.
Toodles.
Adios.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.